Inside Lacrosse Podcast.
Thank you for checking out the Inside Lacrosse Podcast. I am Terry Foy, and it is Throwback Thursday. You are listening to this podcast on or after May 7th. However, it was recorded in the middle of December as members of the Inside Lacrosse staff got together with Albany's Lyle Thompson and Duke's Miles Jones in Westchester County, New York, to do a photo shoot for the February issue of Inside Lacrosse magazine. And to go along with that, I interviewed both Lyle and Miles about some of the concepts and some of the topics relating to the idea of being the face of college lacrosse. We had made the decision that was the cover text that we were going to use, and I wanted to get to know both of them a little bit better in the context of that and have an opportunity to talk to each other and figure out what it was like to, you know, see two guys from different backgrounds go through the process of getting better as lacrosse players to the point where, you know, they became the most high-profile players heading into the 2015 season. But today, on May 7th, they both became Twarton finalists. Lyle is obviously a very heavy favorite to win the award for a second time, and Miles is certainly coming off of a tremendous regular season and looking to lead the Blue Devils to a third consecutive NCAA championship. I also wanted to post this podcast for those of you that didn't have an opportunity to see the magazine and realize where some of what Paul Carcaterra's interview with Lyle about the topic of being the face of college lacrosse kind of emanated from. You know, this was an idea that was born by the 2014 championship weekend when I was speaking with Anish Shroff and we were talking about what the storylines heading into the 2015 season were going to be. I just thought that the idea of the way in which the two most high-profile players in college lacrosse were going to be a black midfielder at Duke and another a Native American attackman at Albany. What that meant for the sport was just tremendous. And throughout the course of this podcast, you'll hear Lyle and Miles talk about how they view themselves as representative members of each of those communities and so much more. It was one of my favorite days that I've spent in nearly the decade I've been working inside lacrosse was just spending time with these two guys who have shown tremendous growth and maturity, not just in the way that they are as lacrosse players, but certainly in the way that they are, you know, as men and in the way that they approach life and particularly life as it relates to being what I would call a famous lacrosse player. So I hope you enjoy it, and hope you can bear with some of the hiccups in the middle. The conversation was recorded around taking the photos, so there might be a few stops and starts. The first thing that I was kind of like hoping to get an idea of is just the you guys came to the sport, I would imagine, in different ways, you know, in terms of how you picked up a stick for the first time to how you decided that it was something that you wanted to seriously commit yourself to. So, you know, I guess, Lyle, it's something that, like, I think a lot of people know about you because it's a big part of your story, it's a big part of your people. But how do you kind of describe just the way that you started becoming a serious lacrosse player?
A big part of it was, you know, obviously I'm Native American and growing up with my brothers, they've always played. But I think when it changed is when we moved to Syracuse, and so we got introduced to a field lacrosse game. We grew up just playing box lacrosse, and for my brothers, a big influence for them was Brett Bucktooth, and he was like the first family to ever go off to college, his family, his father and them. So my parents knew nothing about. They didn't even know you had to get good grades in school. And school wasn't even important to us, really, until we found out that we needed good grades to, you know, play lacrosse. And I think it was then that changed our attitudes towards, like, working to be good lacrosse players, great lacrosse players. And me and Miles, we always basically followed into my brother's footsteps. So once they went through the struggle of, you know, not getting a good SAT score, and then going to OCC, I think that pushed me and Miles more and more, because we didn't want to go through that, because it was everyone doing it. It's people from Six Nations, Cody Jameson, Sid Smith. Everyone had to take that route where they had to go to a community college or a prep school. And me and Miles wanted to, you know, show that we could do it right out of high school. And, you know, there was a lot of naysayers saying we couldn't do it. So that was motivation. But mostly just, I would say, my brothers and just their, how it hurt Heine to not get to Syracuse. He really didn't like school, and how seeing how hard Jeremy worked to get there really helped us and pushed us to become better lacrosse players. And it's our sticks have always been in our hands. Our love for the game has always been there. But I would say that, like, when we moved to Syracuse was when we thought about, you know, our future in lacrosse.
And
it wasn't just a game.
How old were you when you moved to Syracuse?
It was like sixth grade.
Okay.
So when we start watching, that's when I start paying attention to college lacrosse, when I start watching Brett. So.
And how old were you when you started playing lacrosse?
I was in sixth grade when I started playing lacrosse.
It's a matter of fate. Unbelievable. So, yeah, well, I mean, kind of the same question for you. Like, what was that arc like for you?
Yeah, well, my story is a little different. I grew up, until sixth grade, I had no idea what lacrosse was. You know, I grew up, I played football and basketball all my life. And
you grew up in Huntington?
Yeah, I grew up in Huntington, okay. Born and raised. And, you know, it's funny how I was playing Little League football, and my dad, one of my teammates, his dad was big into PAL in the town, and he came up to my dad and me, and he was like, all right, Miles, you're going to play lacrosse this spring. And I was just like, who's lacrosse? I thought we playing a team named lacrosse. I had no idea what was going on. And then he's like, all right. So I signed up. I started out playing defense, and I mean, obviously playing football. I was a quarterback all my life, and playing basketball. Obviously, it's about scoring. Mm-hmm. But so like, when I played defense, all I wanted to do was pick up the ball and run down the field and score. So when I was in seventh grade, they moved me to attack. I was still kind of I was growing at the time. I was kind of awkward a little bit. And then when I kind of got my feet under me, I started playing midfield like eighth grade. And ever since then, I've been playing, and I kind of got serious around ninth grade, kind of when I realized that, you know, my growth spurt stopped at 6'4". I wasn't going to grow anymore. Football, just, there was a lot of wear and tear in your body, and it was kind of just, at times, it could not be, it wasn't fun, like, you know, practice throughout the week, and lacrosse was something I always enjoyed. I love lacrosse practice. I'm fired up to go to practice every day, and, you know, when I got letters from, when I got my first letter from Coach Janowski, that's when I kind of knew that, you know, maybe lacrosse was for me, and that I could take this game to another level, and I could use my background of football and basketball to help me play lacrosse. And it's been awesome ever since. It was kind of natural for me to pick up a stick and like learn how to play and you know, get the skills down. And it's just fun for me. Like, I really enjoy it. I'll do anything lacrosse related, whether it's talk to a kid about lacrosse, throw the ball, pick up my stick, string a stick, anything. It's just, lacrosse is just, like, so, it's so much fun for me, and anytime you're having fun, it's just so much easier to play.
The thing that I'm a little unclear about, because, you know, just following your recruiting, it seems like basketball was a possibility a little later than maybe that story suggests. Like, when did you decide that, like, you wanted to play college lacrosse and kind of put basketball, like, aside?
Well, I mean, when I committed to Duke my junior year, that was when I was, like, set on lacrosse. And when I went to prep school,
did it kind of like creep back in a little
bit? It creeped back in, not in my interest per se, but in the interest of other people.
Yep.
You know, I played a really good game against Hotchkiss. They had a couple kids going to play at NC State and a bunch of other schools. And we had a couple kids on our team who were highly recruited Division I players. So it brought Coach to the stands. And, you know, just being like a hardworking basketball player, like run up and down the court, do small things, play defense, score, pass, all that stuff. I kind of got the attention of a lot of Division I coaches, and they kind of asked about who I was and my story, and my coach asked me if I ever thought about playing basketball. I told him I did think about it when I was younger, but lacrosse is first and foremost, and the only way I'd ever play basketball in college if I did like a fifth year at Duke or something like that, or did fifth year somewhere else. But coaches just told me they were interested, and it kind of got out where like Xavier, Richmond, all those like small Division I schools were asking if I would ever consider playing basketball. That's kind of where they got out.
Got it. Interesting. So the next question is kind of the second layer of that. And so, you know, kind of learning a little bit about, like, how you got in, the second question is, like, when did you feel like it clicked, so to speak, when you went from being like, or did it ever happen? Did you, is it, has it always been, like, was there ever a point where you were getting better, you were getting better, you were getting better, and then all of a sudden it went like that? Or has it been like this throughout the course of, I don't know, your life, your career, however you want to describe it?
What do you mean, like my a jump?
Or yeah, for, like as a player. Wise? Yeah. Well, more so confidence-wise, I think. Because, like, you, correct if I'm wrong, you could totally disagree. But my thing is, like, as an athlete, like, you kind of have that skill in you, and you get better, and you get better, and you get better. But it isn't until you feel unafraid to try something in a game that, like, you, and then you're successful, and then you try the next thing, and then you try the next thing, and it kind of builds on itself. I don't know. That's the way it was for me. I don't know how it was for you guys.
For me, I would say those two jumps for me. In high school, as a ninth grader, I played varsity for Salmon River, and we made it to sectionals to play Skinny Atlas. And that whole year, you know, we had a skilled team, a talented team, and I was the leader as a ninth grader. So I think my confidence was there then. And once my confidence was there, and this is something I always tell, like, kids at camps, is how important confidence is. So that my ninth grade year, we made it to sectionals against Skinny Atlas, and I was on the field basically the whole game. I came off, like, twice. I called our team's timeouts, and right there, it gave me a lot of confidence. And just, like, watching that tape reminded me of, you know, that I was, you know, separate from the rest of the players.
Mm-hmm.
And I played with a lot more confidence then. And then coming into college was a big change for me. My freshman year, I didn't really do that good. I played midfield, and I just couldn't find it. I was used to beating one guy, then beating two other guys right after that. And once I got to college, I'd run into that first guy and get dropped by a second guy. And so that was a big jump to me, and that basically, me and Miles just working together, and one thing Miles always did was watch a lot of film, and so he was kind of like coaching me. Everything I did, he'd show me on practice film and tell me what I need to do next. And so then I didn't play with confidence my freshman year. Sophomore year, coach put me at attack. I was working a lot with Miles and Ty, confident in passing to them, doing whatever I wanted. Coach was gave me the ball in overtime, stuff like that. So those two times, I think, was my jump. And it all came down to confidence.
Yeah, so Coach Dempsey always talks about confidence and how that kind of transcended other players before me, like Dave Lawson, for example. Coach always speaks about how Dave wasn't too confident in his first 3 years, and he kind of just let everything go his senior year. And that's kind of something that Dave passed on to me and Deemer when we, after our freshman year, he said, just when the game becomes not fun, it's really detrimental to you. And just my sophomore year in high school, you know, our team, we had the best team that ever was assembled at mm-hmm. Walton High School. I mean, just not really a big powerhouse, but we had a couple of kids go Division One, and a couple of kids who were really good role players for us. And you know, I was young. I really, it's hard to remember, like, what happened, just because I kind of let everything go about thinking too much, and everything came together. That's kind of when I really realized that, you know, lacrosse was for me, and that, you know, if I worked hard, that lacrosse could be something that that could really take me far and get me to where I want to be in life. And you know, last year everyone talks about the jump that I made, and they always ask me about it. And really, it all came out of confidence. You know, after a little while, I kind of realized that, you know, if we were going to be good, that someone has to step up, whether it be me or Dima or Christian. And we all sat down and we kind of took it upon ourselves that, you know, Christian is a senior. You never want to see your friend go home crying after a season. And you know, our whole motto on our team is you play for the senior. So you look at your senior next to you and you play as hard as you can, because you don't want him to have a terrible end to the season. And, you know, I think our team really, really embodies that. And that's what Coach preaches every day and all throughout the season. And, you know, I think the confidence piece comes in when I realize that, you know, freshman, sophomore, junior, senior, you have to play as hard as you can, and you have to play like it really is your last game. And, you know, when we went out and every weekend and week out, we played with such confidence that especially after that Syracuse game, I mean, we felt like we really couldn't be stopped, and it became really fun for us. And it was, everyone was confident, and no one cared about who scored the goal, and if it was you or the guy next to you who got the assist or anything. And we just, playing unselfish and playing confident was really huge for us. And my sophomore year is one that I'll always remember.
This is like a very general one. Do you consider yourself a famous lacrosse player?
Yeah, I guess I would, just because you know, I've been around the game, especially this year, with everything that I've been a part of, the New York Times, the ESPN clip, stuff like that. I guess a lot more people know who I am and recognize me when I go to different parts of, you know, run camps in Cali, wherever it is. You know, I always have that one spot where someone comes up to me and knows who I am. And so, I mean, I guess it's definitely growing on me. Getting more comfortable with it, with just being around kids and being more friendly, because I'm typically a shy guy, and when someone comes up to me, I react in a shy way. So I'm getting used to it now.
Yeah, I mean, it was very different when I came home my freshman year. I mean, Huntington's a very small town. I mean, everybody knows everyone. If you've ever done anything special, like, you can literally walk into a store and someone's going to say hello to you just because they know you are. So, like, Huntington's a very small town. Like, it hit me, like, I mean, I got a little bit my freshman year when I came home. Like, kids were, like, I'd see a kid in a grocery store, and I wouldn't even wear anything Duke, and he would just recognize me, and I would talk to him. Mm-hmm. And it really hit me when I came home for after this past year, and I had to coach a tournament right away. It was actually at my middle school. It was a bunch of, like, teams from the island, teams from New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and I was walking in my car to pick up something my mom had dropped off, because I think I left something in her car, she dropped it in my car, and I was walking, I saw my mom, and, like, literally, like, 30 kids were walking behind me, I had no idea, and she kind of was just like, who do you think you are now, and, like, yeah, it's awesome, like, going to camps, and kids, like, moms want to take pictures, and all that stuff. Kids ask for advice. I went to Millen camp. I talked in front of 500 kids, and it's kind of nerve-wracking at first, but I kind of got used to it, just speaking to kids and speaking to parents and speaking to coaches and just talking about Duke, talking about our success, our program, and all that. And it's something you kind of get used to. You know, the kids ask for your autograph, take pictures. And the coach, like, I coach a Little League team. And I'll be in Pennsylvania with my back turned, like, the half, and I'll turn around and be like, 30 kids standing behind the scorer's table, like, just looking at me, and I was like, oh, what's up, and they all get, like, all fired up, and it's kind of a cool thing, especially being in college still, so it's an awesome feeling, you know, like, kids look up to you, and you have no idea.
I mean, it's amazing, and I would imagine, you know, it just happens so quickly, right? Like, you talked about the course of a year,
yeah.
And I would imagine that, you know, the same's true for you. I don't know, I'm so fascinated by it, but I don't experience it. I don't know what it's like. You know what I mean? I can't relate to it at all. So that's why I'm curious, just in terms of, like, yeah, you both talked about the idea of just getting more comfortable with it. And that's the part that I think, like, because the other thing, you know, those three questions are kind of intentional. Like, it explains, like, how there's a course that you can get better at lacrosse that people can understand, because most of them have experienced it. Most people that read inside lacrosse played, and they had somebody in their lives that helped them get better. But, like, you know, very few people have gotten famous in lacrosse. And so as a result, you don't really have that many people that you can turn to for advice on, like, how do I manage this? How do I get more comfortable in it? Yeah. So it's something you kind of have to figure out for yourself. And the fact that you guys are kind of experiencing it at the same time is a big part of the reason that I wanted to do this story, because I think that's part of, you know, what's going on in the sport. But let's take a quick break and shoot some photos. So we took a quick break to shoot some photos, and then we picked it back up. I asked Lyle what he thought of Miles' game.
I actually seen you play. I took a picture with you in Syracuse. You played it. It was like when the Empire State game stopped.
When it stopped, and we
yeah. Had like that. And I remember watching you play, and everyone saying you're a big recruit. And I remember just seeing your hands and everything. And then last year or 2 years ago, I remember seeing you play at Duke, and just seeing how much you've progressed since then, and how much before you were more of like a, even at Dundarmer game, you were more of like a dodger and shoot. Now, since as of last year, the biggest jump last year, I think, anyways, was you your feeding ability, just to like draw a guy, see the play in front of you, and even skip through the middle, whereas, you know, instead of just passing to the guy right beside you, you skip through the middle. But from my understanding is, I mean, from watching him, I guess just too big to stop. Not much you can do, especially if you get a good couple outside shots. They have to respect that on you, and then you can base dodge them, feed, bringing two or three guys at you at once.
Is that an accurate assessment?
Yeah, pretty accurate.
I didn't realize you guys went. I should have made the connection with the Empire games. I do remember the Under Armour.
I didn't
play
in it. I was just.
He didn't play it. He was
my cousin James Cathers. Yeah. He was supposed to go to Cuse.
Yeah.
He played for the Central team.
Yeah, so I was there watching him.
Gotcha.
Yeah, we played Under Armour together.
Right.
Yeah. So I mean, I watched as many Albany games as I possibly could, you know, with the whole TV thing. They're all over the place, but you know, I was thoroughly impressed by just the amount of ridiculous plays Lyle's made, just the whole like, behind the back stuff, and I think it's really cool because you know it's you don't really get to, I guess, reap the benefits of, you know, your style of play because you don't get to hear all the little kids say, like when I'm at camp, everyone's like, oh, like Lyle Thompson, like they're doing all these ridiculous things, like yeah, you guys can't even catch and throw, like focus on that, like he's a special player, like, and like you've changed the game, and I think it's awesome that you know, more Native Americans are playing the game in college, like Zach Miller, he's a stud.
Yeah.
Play against him, he's unbelievable. And just other kids, I mean, I think your style of play is just unbelievable. It's one that you have to watch when you want to watch the game of lacrosse.
Is that accurate?
Yeah.
If you could ask each other, like, one question, I know this is, like, a weird thing, but whatever. If, like, just one thing that you would be curious about the other person, what would it be?
How much weight you put up in the gym?
Well, this year I got a lot stronger. I benched like 335, squatted 475, power clean 300. So I mean, when I was a freshman, I had no idea what power clean was. So it's
come on,
tremendous.
Just like, when did you start working out?
When I got to college, like my freshman year, that was when.
It's just something that's interesting to me because. I'm just starting to work out just my senior year, and I regret not, like we have our team workouts, but it's not like coach is going to come and yell at me for not working out. So I've never really got into it. Like, my brother was always in it. He'd try to get me into it. We have a trainer back home. My cousin Bill, he tries to get me into it, and I've never gotten into it until this year. This year, I'm like, I have to work out every day. Before I came here, I worked out, so. I was just wondering how, like, you, when did you start doing that?
Yeah, it's kind of, it's not for everyone, and I'm a firm believer that working out doesn't make you a better lacrosse player. Make you a better athlete, probably reduce injuries, but I didn't touch my first weight until I got freshman year at Duke, so, I mean, not that people should follow that or
anything, but
that was just kind of how I grew up. I was always playing sports. I didn't have time to, like, stop playing sport to go lift weights. And so I was, like especially during the spring, I played basketball during the spring, lacrosse during when I was growing up. During the fall, I played lacrosse, football, and basketball. So I was always busy with in the winter, I played inside lacrosse, and I was playing basketball. So
yeah.
I didn't really have time to get away from school, basketball, lacrosse, football, to go work out. So
yeah.
That's kind of just how it happened for me. But I would like to know, what do you listen to before games?
I actually don't listen to much music. If I do, I usually I try to stay calm before a game, so I'm not someone who, in our locker room, I'm not someone who listens to big pump-up music. The whole team's listening. I usually just bring beats if I want to get away from it all and listen. I listen to, it's not country, but it's not rap. It's more, I don't even know how to describe it.
Is it, do you know the artist or like?
Yeah, Tragically Hip.
Oh, okay.
Sublime.
Yeah.
Things like that.
Something that'll calm you down.
Yeah. I think Coach got me into it. Coach is a big Pearl Jam guy, and I think we've changed each other, me and Coach. He's,
Coach Martin.
From what I've heard, he wasn't the way he was now. He was kind of a spaz. And, now He's the calmest. He's really calm, and that's kind of what he listens to. And he's just he barely ever runs, yells, and his attitude is just positive attitude in the locker room, on the field. Make a mistake, it's always just staying positive.
What do you listen to?
I listen to a ton of stuff. I'm not really into the big. Sometimes I'm into like if it's like a huge game. We're playing UNC. I'll put on like old school DMX for the locker room.
Yeah. We just had a little bit of that.
Yeah.
That's the first time I've heard DMX in like a couple of years.
Yeah. So when we begin the season, like before like the UNC game, like we were listening to like these like laid back tunes, and everyone's kind of just like grogging in the locker room, and like so like the UNC game that we won in overtime, that was on my birthday, so I was like all fired up to like beat UNC and then have fun after. So I came in with like a playlist of like 20 songs, and I just put it in, and everyone was just like punching each other and ready to go. And it was just kind of been the nature of the locker room ever since. Like, we have two locker rooms. We have our locker room that we usually have like during the week, and we have our gaming locker room. So mm-hmm. like, I put in the tunes in the regular locker room, get everybody pumped up to walk out, and we walk up to our field,
mm-hmm.
and then put on like more calm music. Haley's Comet's a big song in our locker room. Yeah, we have.
Did you have a championship song?
I mean, we played Turbulence.
Okay.
And then we would play I Like Us Better When We're Wasted. We play that song after games and stuff. It's pretty funny. We usually find like one song every year, and we just play it until like you really don't want to hear it anymore. So
that's when it's the win song.
Both song.
I haven't chosen one yet, but last year I had the pretty good one. I had the Ludacris MVP one. It was like I'm the man. Word. It was pretty funny. someone suggested it to me, and I did it, so I don't know what I'm gonna do this year. I might do Yeah Okay by I think it's like DJ Self and Rick Ross. It's pretty funny. It's just like y'all just mad we scoring. Yeah Okay. It's like just whole long thing. It's pretty funny. So I might do that.
You gotta dog you one more time before you're done.
I might have.
You got 2 years left, but yeah.
I have some good celebrations coming up this year.
Yeah?
Yeah. Some good ones. We've been thinking about it.
What's so we were talking about this on the way up. Zach was saying that like your personality comes through your game. And I was like, that's true, I agree with that, but it's not in the obvious ways. Like, a lot of times people say that, it's like, oh yeah, because you go crazy celebrating a goal or whatever, but you don't really celebrate goals.
Once in a while, I will.
Yeah?
Well, there's some trash talk or just little things like that, it's the only time I'll celebrate. Or if it's a game-winning goal, something like that.
Do you, would you ever dance?
No. The biggest thing I've done was the Cuse game, I did that thing.
Yeah.
The first 2 years ago, and then last year against UMBC, I did that. It's a NHL hockey when you win a fight.
Was that, were they trash talking in that one?
Yeah, he was talking to me the whole time, and he did good against me that game.
Yeah.
He stripped me like twice when he must have studied me pretty good, because every time I came one-handed, he'd jump it, and he got me like twice, and he was just talking the whole time, saying little things, and after that, I dropped him at X, and he fell, and I came around, and that's why.
Kind of last. Was that after two? I remember because I was with you guys that game. I think Miles took a shot, and there was like a little bit of a little bit of a shoving match, and I think you scored a couple of plays after that, and so I think that was kind of like.
Yeah, it was. I remember
the shot and the total.
Because he hit Miles.
Yeah.
The kid that was covering me hit Miles, and he was like got in Miles' face, and that made me even more mad.
Well, like you mentioned, you know, kind of the celebration stuff. I mean, we're talking a little about Miles talking about his coach personality. I mean, everybody knows, you know, Coach Janowski is a pretty interesting kind of personality guy. What's his opinion or anything with that kind of stuff with you guys, you know, in allowing you to get some of those personality aspects out into your game?
I mean, Coach has, like, gives utmost amount of freedom, and, you know, he lets us be ourselves no matter what we're doing, and he preaches that out of whether it's on the field or off the field. He kind of just doesn't want us to, you know, conform to what Duke wants us to be or what our parents want us to be. He wants us to really just be ourselves. So, like, when we celebrate, he lets you do whatever you want as long as the flag isn't thrown. And funny thing about coaches, one day, you know, after we lost that Syracuse game, we were all sitting around talking, and we felt like there was just no energy, like, on our sideline. And we scored goals, we go over and just pat each other on the butt and like, and helmet and just walk away. And coach would pause the film and be like, all right, Jordan Wolf scored up the hash goal lefty, and you guys give him a high five. So, like, you know, we were being jerks at practice. Like, every time we scored, we would punch each other in the helmets. And so, I mean, like, coach, he really wants us to be, like, free and, like, have a good time playing lacrosse, because he knows it's a long season, and you know, you can easily get burnt out. But you just, like, having fun, celebrating, being stupid with each other, having a good time. It's just, he what Coach preaches, and he's, that's him in a nutshell. I mean, he's always joking around. He's always down to laugh. And, like, we have so much fun at practice. With, like, he jokes, like, if he corrects you and you do it right, next time he'll run around the field patting himself on the back. Like, he does, like, small stuff like that. That's just, it's hilarious. And it makes it that much easier to play for him.
I've seen the dancing pictures of him in the locker room. So, yeah. And I know he gets down himself.
He does. He does it for every game, like, like, he'll, like, grab somebody's stick who's in that, play air guitar, yep. And, like, just dance.
Yeah, I've seen that, yeah.
Yeah, he's a clown. It's great.
So what's so you think Scott has changed, Coach Mara's changed because of you? Or just has it been virtue of the three of you guys being there, winning some games, that sort of thing, just kind of seeing a different philosophy?
I honestly don't think it's anything to do with winning the games. I just think it's the people we are. And I just see a lot of myself and him. We have the same views on just outside of lacrosse, just on life, on the kind of person you should be, being a good person, having a positive attitude. And I don't even know I've always had this attitude, but he's helped put it through me even more. Just not caring about, just even with what's going on the past 2 years, breaking the record, almost breaking the record. And I've never been someone who cares about points, but once it gets to that point, or like you're right there, you want it. And there's not really much you can do about it. And because for me, I've never experienced being like that, like caring about points. I was always someone. My father always told me, like, you know why you play, you know who you play for, and that's for the Creator. And that was my attitude all the time. I was gonna go out there and just play my best, and who cares if I win, lose. And Coach kind of kept putting it through me, where like even the whole team, but he definitely it's gone through me just. Going out there, playing with a positive attitude, no matter how many times I miss the net or get stripped or whatever happens on the field, just go out there, play your best. There's one thing you can control, and that's your effort and your attitude. And that's something I live by every game now. But outside of that, I just think he cares. He cares about, I guess, the voice he has, how he can change someone's life, and I care about that too. So now I'm to the point where I'm an influence on kids, and that's something that's come to me. I didn't go out, you know, asking to do that, but now I am, so I have to. I feel like it's my job to be a positive influence, and not only to Native Americans, but to everybody. But within the Native American community, I feel like I have a duty to. I have to help our community. Basically do what I did, fight through school, get an education, and use lacrosse as a vehicle. Because, and I always say lacrosse because kids play different sports on the res. Everyone plays a different sport, but lacrosse, I just think it's such a young sport, and it can give you the opportunity. And everyone on the reservation, there's not a kid that doesn't try to play the game. Mm-hmm. Everyone tries the game as a kid. You're born basically into it. And some kids love it, some kids don't. Some kids love it and get into bad things. And I think that's where me and my family is an important inspiration for them, because me, Miles, and Hina have never touched a drug in our lives, no alcohol, anything like that. And we don't care about that type of stuff. Jeremy has, but he's helped us. Mm-hmm. He's helped us see what it does. How it's a mind changer and how it can take you off your path. And so I think we've all helped each other out, and now us as brothers, we just want to help out as many kids as we can, really.
For sure. You talked about responsibility and obviously talking about Albany too, and certainly like with Miles and Ty and how they were a part of the first 3 years that you had at Albany. And now a lot of people have discussed this year just this is actually a question for kind of both you guys, and it's basically just about like how this year is going to be different from last year. You know, and so like I was saying, Lyle, like for you, like the one thing people are talking about is what Albany's going to be like without Miles and Ty, you know, how that'll affect your game. What do you think of that?
I'm actually excited about it. I'm excited to take on that role as a leader, and I think being a senior definitely it makes a change to you. You know, you realize it's your last year, you get one more shot at that national championship and to accomplish, something we've never accomplished. But so I'm excited to kind of show the kids the ropes, and especially we got a young team, and just being a leader, helping them become a great team without me. Even when I leave, I know that's going to be a big talk when I'm gone at Albany. So just preparing those kids that are coming in, or the kids that are sophomores and juniors, for the year after when I'm gone.
And for you, it's, I kind of make, I draw it akin to like in the NFL, after 2 years ago, when everybody spent the whole offseason like preparing for like RG3, Russell Wilson, like people are going to spend an offseason trying to figure out like, all right, how do we like double you? Like, how do we, try to get you off your spot? Because you've gotten to a point where there's no clear flaws in your game. So there's nowhere that you want to push you. It's just a matter of like, so what's your thought on like just carrying that burden?
I mean, it's just something that it's part of the game. If you're going against somebody who's a focal point of the, their team, it's just how it comes down to how are you going to defend them. But I think on our team, which is so special, is that we always have kids that are just great players. They're great players, not just lacrosse players. They're players, no matter in the clear sense of the word. But we got like Justin Gerding, who knows lacrosse, he'll figure it out. He knows that double is going to come. He's very aware of our offense and things, the little nicks and knacks of what's going to make him successful. Jack Bruckner going into a new role, he knows the deal. He played with us last year. He knows that double's going to come. He knows all the patterns of the offense. Just that, I think Coach Caputo drilling the offense over and over every day of the week, Monday through Friday, it's going to become second nature. And it doesn't matter who's going to do what, who's going to dodge, who's going to catch, who's going to throw the ball through. It's just we're all pieces of the offense, no matter what, who's playing what position. And I think the special part is that the guys on our team are aware that it's an opportunity for them to step up. If I can't do it, scoring the ball, I'll definitely throw it to anyone on our team. And I have 100% confidence in anybody on our team on the offensive end that they're going to catch it and throw it in the net.
It's a great coach answer, but I believe it.
Yeah. He's we call him the guru, Coach Caputo, yep. Coach Stanowski. So
the, part of the thrust of the story, and I think I actually did speak to you about this, is, the idea for the headline that I want to use is the face of college lacrosse, or the new face of college lacrosse, something to that effect. And I think that, while, we've talked for an hour already today about, everything about your game and your stories that are unique and important, I think it would be irresponsible to not acknowledge the fact that, it hasn't been, it has been the case that, a black player has been the best player in the game. It has been the place that a native player has been the best player in the game. But I think it's a unique aspect of 2015 that you two represent, communities that are not majority communities in lacrosse and are the two best players in the game, in my opinion. So to that end, the question that I kind of have is just like, how do you, Lyle, you've talked a lot about like carrying the responsibility, Miles. We haven't had that conversation before. What are your thoughts on that? Is like, do you want to be a representative? Do you want to be a role model? Like, how do you kind of just regard, being a black lacrosse player in a predominantly white sport? Same with being a native player in a predominantly white sport in college lacrosse.
Yeah. Do you want to go first?
Yeah, I'll go first. I don't think it's a fact of whether I want to or not. I think it's just the nature of just the beast. I think, when kids see me playing lacrosse, they notice, oh, look, there's a pair of brown legs running around. And I think it speaks loudly in communities. Like, I went to Brooklyn and had a little thing out there where we just stood around in a parking lot through lacrosse without a net. And you wouldn't imagine how many kids came up and just were curious as to what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And kids picked up sticks. I had a bunch of sticks in my garage. And, kids just loved it. They had a good time. And, I've noticed a lot of it on social media. Kids will tweet at me, comment on my pictures, and be like, you're the reason why we're number 15, like a young black kid playing lacrosse. And it'll be like in Philly, Maryland, Baltimore, like anywhere, and Virginia, or places where like it's starting to grow. And kids will send me like direct messages on Tinder, not Tinder, well, it's weird, on Twitter, and Instagram, and say, I wear number 15 because of you. And like it's hard for me not to respond and be like, I appreciate that, and I wish this the best of luck in their season and stuff, and then that's how I kind of get those fans. And coach, I've sat down and talked to Coach Nasty about this plenty of times, and it's kind of cool because the other day we had our squat test. I don't know how they recruit nowadays. You know, kids are probably 12 years old, but a group of commits came in. Makai and his whole class came in, and there were two black kids on the in the class. Mm-hmm. And you know, I took those guys out. I took the whole class out to lunch, and before I left the weight room, Coach Nowski was like, "Did you notice anything about those kids in there?" I was just like, "Yeah, there's two black kids there." He's like, "Yeah, oh, I like to call it the Miles Jones effect. I think you've changed a lot about the culture of lacrosse, and then you coming to Duke, I think it makes your story that much better." And now he's 100% correct, as because seeing those two kids really, it's really cool, you know, and you know, it's Duke. It's different when a black kid goes to Duke and plays lacrosse. So I think it's really special that, you know, I like to think that has something to do with that. And Coach D has expressed that a bunch of times. I think it's really cool to see, you know, black kids playing lacrosse. And, you know, with I've talked to a bunch of Little League football coaches and numbers down and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Lacrosse could be what kids in the urban communities turn to. And hopefully that would be huge if, you know, maybe 5-6 years where you have maybe instead of that 2% that we have now, that 1.9%, we could have maybe 6 or 7% mm-hmm. or 8%, and that would be really really cool to look back on it. You know, like when my time playing lacrosse is done.
Absolutely.
And just for me, I think the biggest thing about where I come from is the poverty, the drug and alcohol use, and I think lacrosse has been something that has taken. That is taking that out of their hands, the drugs and the alcohol, the graduation rate, all that stuff. I think me, our brothers, have been a big influence on those kids, especially on my reservation, just because it gives them something to do. You know, for us, we didn't even have to. We loved the game so much that we just always had a stick in our hands. We had our net in our backyard, but nowadays, we go down to the box, and which is, it's an outside box. It's, they call it a dust bowl because it's mostly all just dirt inside it, and two box nets in there. And me, my brothers will go down there at night, turn the lights on, and you can see the lights throughout the res. You can see them just, you know, it'll brighten up the sky. And so everyone will just go down there and start playing. Even through the day, if you drive through around 3 o'clock, you'll see kids walking down the street with the lacrosse sticks. Walking through the box, wherever it is. But I think that's probably the biggest thing, is it gives us being there and showing that we can, you know, that we went to school, we made something of this game. It's an influence on those kids to, you know, change their generation and use lacrosse as a vehicle and not get into, I guess, that type of life. In just the other thing, just to go off of what he said, just like on being a positive influence, not just the way I play, but on social medias, on Twitter, whatever it is, Instagram, you know, you have a ton of followers. Most of them are little kids, and like what he said, it's not a choice. It's not a choice of us to be a good role model, to be role models, to be looked up to. We're already in this spot, so it's our choice to be a good role model. And I think that's important to both of us because, you know, we're making a difference. We can change a kid's life, and that kid can possibly, he's growing the game, and he can possibly change, you know, a lot of people's lives. And I think that's the biggest thing I'm most thankful for. It's just the opportunity I've been given to change lives, to change a kid's attitude towards the game and hopefully influence him to be a better lacrosse player, but also to be a different person.
Do you find college lacrosse like a welcoming community? Or do you feel like it was like a hello, come on in, or was it kind of like you had to beat the door down a little bit?
I think that it's a very welcoming community, but I think that, you know, just being part of a minority group, you kind of get in your own head about, like, oh, like, do I belong here? Is this for me? But, you know, I haven't come across anything where anyone has spoken out in a inappropriate way towards me. Like, all my teammates are they understand that I'm different from them, but I'm no different from them. Like, I do the same things they do. I have a good time. I hang out with any kid on my team. We can all hang out. That's a cool thing about our team. Like, any two kids on our team can hang out. We have a really close team. I think that's part of the reason we've been successful in the past years. And, like, I think every year the seniors leave, and they leave that legacy on the younger guys who bring the younger guy, the new freshman class along. They buy in. So, like, no matter color of your skin, where you're from, demographic or anything, you know, lacrosse is lacrosse. Everyone has the same stick. We all catch and throw the same ball. We should make the same net. And at the end of the day, it's just – it's lacrosse first and everything else behind that.
And I think the great thing about lacrosse right now is that it's a community. Everyone knows everybody. We've been friends on Facebook before we even, I mean, for
at least high school, 6 years.
High school, so like, it's like a family of lacrosse, you know. I say my Albany team's my family, but if you just look at the whole big picture of lacrosse, you happen to see somebody at a random mall, wherever it is, you're going to stop and say hi to them because they play lacrosse. I think it's just like it's a small community, and I like that about the game right now. I do want the game to grow and everything, but I do really like that about lacrosse. You see someone, you know he plays lacrosse, you're going to go up. Even if you don't know he plays lacrosse, he dresses like a lacrosse player. He wears, you know, the way he wears his shorts or socks, you can just kind of tell the way lacrosse players dress. And if I'm walking through the mall and I see that right then and there, I know that kid's kind of looking at me. He knows who I am, and I'll say hi to him as I walk by him. You know, little things like that.
That's it. That's the story.
Inside Lacrosse Podcast.